The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so last time we did the hierarchy of tzedakah, and then Rav Makbili said, check out the Mor Nebuchim, which is what we're going to do today. Let's review the halacha. And this might lead into another topic, which you might also find so shocking that we might want to take a detour. Okay? Just brace yourself.
In the Mor?
In the Mor, yeah. Okay, Ani Shuhu Krova. I guess you're not the only one who's feeling cold. Anishu Krovo, Kodim Lechol Adam. This is we're reviewing Matanos name is Zion Yugimel. Anishu Krovo, Kodim Lechol Adam. A poor person who is your relative comes before everyone. Baniye Beso, Kodmin Laniye Iro. Poor people in your household come before poor people in your city. Baniye Iro, Kodmin Laniye Iracheras. And poor people in your city come before the poor people of another city. Shnemar, as it says, Lachicha Niacha Evyonacha Beratzacha. To your brother, that's family, la'aniyacha, to your household, la'evyon chabiratzacha, to the poor in your land, that's before other people's lands, yeah.
I don't know if it's in the question, but I don't know if it has to do with it seems a little green in the other way, that it's from the poorest up.
Right.
I don't know if it's in the question, someone's so poor that they really can't live and shouldn't be prioritized that. But maybe you can prioritize that, but not...
That's true.
That's
a good point. Right. In other words, yeah, if someone is going to die, then obviously you give them that. And, you know, I would even venture to say, and this is just my speculation, and we have to check this out halakhically, which I think is what we'll do tomorrow. We'll look at the practical halakhas of this, is like, let's say you have a person who is not related to you, who like, you know, needs clothing, you know, like a basic necessity. And then a person who is in your household who needs like...
A horse.
Yeah, right. Exactly, yeah. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we say like, you have to provide the basic clothing, or the basic needs first. I don't know though. In other words, this could all be within one tier, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that we have to look at.
But I am sure that the life thing.
Definitely with the life thing, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. Like, it would seem to make sense, like what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, if the basic mitzvah is
de machzora.
Yeah, is de machzora, then wouldn't it default to giving your family member a horse?
It might. Yes, it might. That's the other argument, right? That once you're out of the realm of like bare necessity needs, then it goes based on whatever needs. All right. So let's do this Mor Nebuchim here. We're not going to do the whole thing, but this is in 342. We're going to read the first part. This is in the Tamei Mitzvos. It says, the commandments comprised in the seventh class are the laws concerning property. They are those that we have enumerated in a portion of the Sefer Mishpatim and in a portion of the Sefer Kinyan. So this is an example of how the Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim has 14 categories of mitzvos, but they're different than the Yad. Okay, this is he references the Yad categories, but they're slightly different. All of them have an evident reason, for they consist in an estimation of the laws of justice with regard to the transactions that of necessity occur between people, and see to it that these do not deviate from a course of mutual help useful for both parties, lest one of them should aim at increasing his share in the whole and at being the gainer in all respects. So this is talking about regulating tzedek in exchanges of interaction. Okay, of money. Okay, so we're not going to do all these. So he goes through buying and selling, and he goes into shomrim. Then he goes into, here's where I think we need. The statutes concerning property also comprise inheritance. So he starts off with inheritance, okay, not tzedakah. Herein is involved an excellent moral quality. I mean that a person should not withhold a good thing from one deserving it. Accordingly, which is the definition of a tzedakah, right, is giving something to one who is owed it. Accordingly, when he is going to die, he should not begrudge his heir and squander his property. On the contrary, he should leave it to him whom among all the people deserves it most, namely to his next of kin, unto his kinsman that is next of him of his family. As is well known, it is explained that this is first of all the child, then the brother, then the paternal uncle. And he should grant preference to the eldest of his children because his love for him came first, and he should not follow his inclination, as it says, he may not make the son of the beloved wife the firstborn, and so on. Right? So you got to go based in an objective order, not just based on who you want to give it to. This most just law safeguards and fortifies this moral quality. I refer to taking care of relatives and protecting them. So that's when we're getting to this idea that you should protect your relatives. Yeah.
In the beginning of my career, we were talking about different moral systems. in Canada, but what I'm saying is that why is it moral that it shouldn't be just a money, it shouldn't just exploit that into the rest of the world?
Right.
I mean, it's only done here by lots of being born to that.
Right, right. Oh, so you don't have an answer. You're just asking?
I mean, I don't have an answer. I'm assuming it's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, right.
More
right, yeah. This is a question I've written about before, which is like, how does inheritance fall out on in terms of like mishpatim versus chukim? You know, like on the one hand, it sounds like a mishpatim thing because if you don't have inheritance, then you have a chaotic society where everyone's just waiting for everyone else to die so they can just take their property. You know, so like it is mishpatim, but then it are there like philosophical ideas embedded
in, like,
we say there's definitely moral ideas, right? Okay. But whether there's like philosophical ideas, not so. And this is where we're going to get to. Here comes the shocking halacha in a little while, which I think you've both probably heard before. But he says, you know what the prophet says, but he that is cruel afflicts his own kinsman. And the text of the Torah, when speaking of alms, so that quotes our pasuk, unto thy brother, thy poor and son. Here we go. And sages, may the blessed be memory, praise very much the character of the individual who causes his relatives to be close to him and who marries his sister's daughter.
Right.
Right? That's the thing that the shibchu chachamim, the misha knows as bas achoso.
Yeah.
So that's in Yevamos, which is, I just got it up here to show you in case.
You know, you mean the other way around? I don't know. You hear that it would be Mary.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely mutter, but not praiseworthy, apparently. So
isn't
it says.
Didn't it have any points in Yevamos?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Key with Avraham and Sarah. Right?
Oh,
niece?
Mm-hmm. Was his brother's daughter.
Brother's daughter, okay.
Well, I'm talking about a niece here also. I'm talking about sister.
No, I know, but it wasn't the thing.
Right,
right.
It was
and then
Nahor. Yeah. You're talking about, yeah, this is going to the sheet that Yiska is Sarah, right?
Is
there?
Isn't that a measure on... Why
Adam sent my sister? There is that midrash also. I feel like we talked about this recently.
Why sister,
right. Yeah. I think we did talk about that. Yeah. So here's all. I didn't look into the sugya exhaustively, but it says, "Tan Rabban Ofes Ish Toku Gufo." Someone who loves his wife like himself or like his body, v'hamachabda yoser miguven, who honors her more than his body, v'madrich banav uvnosav derech isharan, one who guides his sons and daughters on the upright path, v'amasiyan samach lepirkan, and he marries them off close to their maturity. Olav kazvomer v'yadata ki shalom ahalecha. About him, the pasuk says, you will know that shalom is your tent. Ha'ohe v'shchenav, one who loves his neighbors, Bamakarev as krov, and one who brings close his relatives, Banos as bas achoso, and one who marries the daughter of his sister, Bamalave sela laani bashas dachako, and one who lends a coin to an ani at the time of his need, Allah Kaz Vomer, Oz Tikra Varashem Yaane, Tishavea Vyomer Hineni. Then you will call and Hashem will answer, you will cry out, and Hashem will and he will say, here I am. Yeah. So it really is that second memra that we're concerned with. Someone who is who loves his neighbors, brings close his relatives, marries his niece, lends a sela to an ani at a time when he is in pressing need. It's a strange memra. Yeah. So let's see here. Yoser mi gufo. Oh, sorry. And then what happens? And then that Hashem will when you call out, Hashem will answer you. Yeah. Okay, so Rashi says here, Yosemi Gufo, this is for the wife part, Dezilusa deitasa kasha midagavra. I assume that means like a bizui of his wife. I mean, people like disrespect his wife. That's harder than when they disrespect the guy himself. That's like, you're talking about my wife that way? That's always the thing. They never say, you're talking about me that way? Yeah. Okay, then here's the bar. No se es basa koso. Gia gue adam rabin al achosos. So this is such a funny word. Yeah, no. Gia gue. Yeah. So I think it means like the, I mean, it means longing. But I read it as like, like fondness. Like a person has more fondness for his sister Yosemin Ahab more than for his brothers. Mitochkach nimsa mechabev es ishto. And if he marries her daughter, then that'll result in a greater chibuv of his wife. So what's interesting about it?
The choices are your brother's daughter or your sister's daughter, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is saying that that. I mean, the way he's saying it is, you know, Kal Vachomer, someone else's daughter, right? Yeah, right. There is someone else who says that this is also true of your brother's daughters. And it just shows this as an example, but then some say that this is better because have you heard this thing that that your sons will turn out, a woman's sons will turn out to be like her brothers? Or like, you want to see what your sons?
Like biologically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like in character, I think.
Oh, I know that male pattern baldness is.
Oh yeah.
Is in the X genes. And uh-huh. You look at.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I've heard that said before about the like their character, which obviously doesn't mean like it's a lock in, you know. But so there's so some connect that to this idea why, you know, because what will happen because it'll turn out. Oh, so then that shows that there's a connection between a brother and between an uncle and a woman's brother and her sons, right? So that'll be the situation with this girl because her sons will be like. Her husband, right? Am I mixing this up? She's
yeah
right. Wait, did I just skip a step? Wait,
you so added another the generation. That's
did I? Well, yeah, but this is yeah.
No, you added a generation of
another generation.
And uncle get married. You said that their kid. Her daughter is going to be like
okay.
Her husband.
Hold on a second. So, okay. The normal case, not what we're talking about here, is, let's say my wife's sons are going to be like my wife's brothers.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay. So now what if my wife is my sister's daughter?
Then your kids are going
to
be like you.
Yes, that's what we're trying to get to. Then they're going to be like me, right? So in other words, it's going to lead to a fondness, a certain connection, a natural affinity between the father and his own sons because of this thing that your sister's sons are like her brothers. Bam.
No.
Do we need a diagram?
Yes, and her daughter's sons are going to be like her sons.
Her daughter's sons are going to be like you. Yeah, right. Yeah. Let me show you the thing where I saw this, actually. Yeah, okay. It's Tosfos that says this. Banose es bas achoso, someone who marries his sister's daughter. Pierce Rashbam. So the Rashbam explained, hu adin bas echav. So Rashbam says it's the same as marrying your brother's daughter. Okay. Aval achoso nakat, but... it chose the example of your sister's daughter, Lefisha Mishtadlaso Bedvarim, because you talk nicely to her, I guess, with Shchiach Shinose Bita. And it's common for a person to marry his sister's daughter. I really wonder how common this was back then. You know, I don't really know if this like in the olden days, people marry their cousins all the time, and now like people are squeamish about it, you know. So I don't know what if this was like a similar thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then he says Ruvain Tom is the one I was talking about. Omer, what? Dedavka nakat bas achoso, that it specifically took the daughter of your sister, Lefi Shehi Bas Mazalo, because she shares the same mazal, Kidamrinan, as it says, Rov Banim Domin La'ache Ha'em, mm-hmm. that the majority of sons are similar to their mother's brothers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to get the family tree in your mind there.
This doesn't make sense still,
though. I thought you said it anyway that makes sense. I don't want to have to go back to it.
The way that it won't make sense, though, is that so if the majority of sons are like their mother's brothers, right?
Yeah.
So the kid that the niece and the uncle are going to have,
yeah, Oh, you're right.
Are not the mother's brother.
Right. They're the mother. Let me just repeat the way I said it, the way you just said, just make sure I get it. So when you marry your sister's daughter, okay, and you have sons, so those sons are going to be similar
to your wife's brothers.
It's gonna make a smoother similarity comparison in the males on that side. The mother's brother.
That's why they're the same.
I am my own grandpa. Mother's brothers are similar to the dad. Mother's brothers are similar to the dad. Yeah.
And then now the niece's kids, which is married to the uncle. The kids are going to be like the uncle because he's the dad. Yeah.
I think a chart would help, but I'm not going to draw that now. We'll have to do it for next time. And again, so this is all a side point. We didn't finish the Rambam. Hold on a second. wait. Let's finish the Rambam. The Torah has taught us that one must go exceedingly far indeed in the exercise of this moral quality. Namely, a man ought to take care of his relative and grant very strong preference to the bond of the womb. Even if his relative should do him an injustice and a wrong and should be extremely corrupt, he must nevertheless regard his kinsman with a protective eye. He, may he be exalted, says, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. So that now that's clear. That's not even your literal brother. Edomites are just related to us very, very, very far back. Mm-hmm. Similarly, everyone of whom you have need someday, everyone who is useful to you and whom you found in a time of stress, even if afterwards he treated you ill, ought necessarily to have merit attaching to him because of the past. He, may he be exalted, says, thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian because thou was a stranger in his land, right? So that's not even, we're not even related to the Egyptians. Well, except we're very, very distantly. What was that? No, you shall not abhor an Egyptian because they treated us, they cared for us, even though they mistreated us. Well, yeah, and that's his raya, right? That even though they mistreated us, they did take us in when we were in a time of famine.
Right.
And it is generally known that how the Egyptians vexed us afterwards. What was that? Right, but that's his point, though, right? Is that even though they mistreated us,
before the Holocaust.
That's a good example.
Right, a lot of Jews lived in Germany.
I've never heard people make that point before.
I made it in my favorite show.
That's a good point.
It's the same exact thing you're saying right here.
Right.
Even though the Egyptians did that, even though the Nazis were bad, of course, I wasn't even all Germans. Not saying it was all Egyptians.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But like many Jews lived in Germany perfectly fine for many years.
Right. Centuries. See then how many noble moral qualities we learn from these commandments. The last two mentioned do not belong to the seventh class, right? But speaking of the care to be taken of relatives and inheritance, we went on to mention the Egyptian and the Edomite. So the main takeaway here is that this taking care of your relatives, mm-hmm. even if they're not necessarily good, mm-hmm. is a morally praiseworthy thing, which is what Makbili is suggesting is the reason for the tzedakah thing. But I still want to look into the tzedakah thing. I think what we should do tomorrow is look into the practical application of the halacha of tzedakah and like see if the case of the horse and the shirt are which way the horse and the shirt go. And Aruch HaShulchan. I also want to look at the Torah Tmima on that pasuk in Devarim and just see what it says there. Yeah. Okay. No, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The moral of the story is marry your niece.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.